The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Following a comprehensive three-year investigation by my offices and review of millions of documents that were submitted by Mr. Trump and others, I am announcing that today we are filing a lawsuit against Donald Trump. The complaint demonstrates that Donald Trump falsely inflated his net worth by billions of dollars. He did this with the help of the other defendants, his children. They issued statements that were in clear violation of general accepted principles in the general accounting principles in the United States. Some of the common tactics they used include representing that Mr. Trump had cash on hand that he did not have, ignoring critical restrictions that would significantly impact property values when setting valuations. Mr. Trump represented that his apartment spanned more than 30,000 square feet, which was the basis for valuing the apartment. In reality, the apartment had an area of less than 11,000 square feet. Mr. Trump also blatantly ignored legal restrictions at Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago was valued on the false premise that it sat on unrestricted property and could be developed for residential use. However, Mr. Trump knew that Mar-a-Lago was subject to a host of onerous restrictions and limitations, and he inflated the value of unsold memberships, often by hundreds of thousands of dollars per membership, even in situations where the memberships were given away for free. The examples I laid out just barely scratched the surface of the misconduct that we have uncovered. The complaint, which all of you should have a copy, is more than 280 pages long. It is a tale of two justice systems, one for everyday working people and one for the elite. I will remind everyone that this investigation only started after Michael Cohen, the former lawyer, his former lawyer, testified before Congress and shed light on this misconduct. And there cannot be different rules for different people in this country or in this state. And former presidents are no different. Because no one is above the law.
It's laughable on the one hand, and yet shameful at the same time, because the only reason it's a story is because of the criminal acts of the shameful media in the United States that give this story an air of credibility. I mean, even Drudge yesterday had the pages. She mentions the pages. Hey, it's 280 pages. I think Drudge put 222 pages. Well, then he must be guilty. I mean, if the complaint is that long, of course he's guilty. The media, they take it and they run with it, because for 6-7 years now, the whole aim of these communist insurrectionists is to get Donald Trump. And so this fits comfortably within the narrative. Never mind that they're going after him for exaggerating numbers, exaggerating his wealth. What did she say? Violating general accounting principles? Can we be a little more specific here? Joe Biden, the Biden crime family, were selling state secrets to the communists in China, to communist governments around the world. And it's all there on a laptop. And in that case, the media, they ignore it. They actively work to cover it up. They quietly admit that it's legit 18 months later. But for this, he exaggerated the size of his apartment. He's got to go to prison. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. But to get to the live video stream, that's what you want. You want the video of this program. We produce it every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States. And it's available at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. And that takes you to the live stream page, takes you to all the programs that we post after we have the live recording. So yesterday I mentioned this sheriff down in the San Antonio area, how that he basically was auditioning. I mean, when you've arrived, when you make it at the deep state level, if Merrick Garland doesn't pan out for Joe Bama, there she is. She's running behind, by the way, in her reelection campaign. We'll get to what she campaigned on here in just a second. But there she is auditioning. I mean, if she can get the attorney general slot of the United States, then she doesn't have to submit herself to a reelection campaign. Just try to get it through the Senate and you're good to go. If Barack Obama put her over the DOJ, this is what she wants. I mean, listen to her, even the sound. She sounds like a female version of Barack Obama with the cadence, with all of the pregnant pauses, with the kind of looking down her nose at the camera, shifting from side to side. They're all trying to win over Barack Obama because they know he's running the country at this time. It was quite the performance. As she says yesterday, you know, we're only just doing this because of Michael Cohen's testimony. He's in jail for perjuring himself and will say literally anything to try to reduce his sentence. So the whole thing is built on that as a foundation. She, furthermore, forget about Michael Cohen. She campaigned on Get Trump. She campaigned on, if I get in as the AG for New York, I'm going to sue Donald Trump. You heard her. You'll hear it in this next montage. Money laundering, all of these criminal acts. She was going to go after Trump. Listen to this from when she was campaigning, Letitia James, clip 6.
I will never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president.
We need to focus on Donald Trump. We need to follow his money.
What is fueling my soul right now is Trump.
I say one name, Donald Trump. That should motivate you.
Will you sue him for us?
Oh, we're going to definitely sue him. We're going to be a real pain in the ass. He said I know my name personally.
I'm running for attorney general because I will never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president. I believe that the president of these United States can be indicted for criminal offenses because we believe that he's engaged in a pattern and practice of money laundering, the money from foreign governments here in New York State. It's important that everyone understand that the days of Donald Trump are coming to an end.
We need to find out where he's laundered money. All of those transactions have happened here in New York City. Tell this president and every other individual that no one is above the law.
So she's an election denier. She's swallowed the big lie, for one, and then money laundering over. If you're looking for the family that's laundering money from abroad, that would be the Biden crime family. And there's evidence on a laptop. We don't even know if the DOJ has the laptop. When they're asked if they even have it or if they know where it is, they kind of beat around the bush. They don't give you a direct answer. And the media, completely silent. So they finally get, they couldn't get the 3 years to sift through all of his financial documents. They couldn't find the money laundering. So what did they come up with? He exaggerated. He said that his properties were worth more, a little bit more than what they actually were worth. There were all these accounting firms, forget the banks, Deutsche Welle, or Chase Manhattan, all of these huge banks that he took out loans from, as if they don't have a team of lawyers that are combing through all of the documents when they come to this agreement. We'll loan you this. You'll pay us back. It's like Trump said last night on Hannity. Look, all these banks, I've paid back my loans. They made a lot of money. And by the way, where are they? She's now a CEO of a bank, I guess. She's the Attorney General of New York. Where, like Andy McCarthy said, where are the victims? If Trump got away with all of this, where are the victims? And furthermore, why is it not in a criminal court proceeding? A civil suit? Really? You had 3 years to go through all of the documents and you come up with this lawsuit in a civil court. And then all of the talk, all of the serious tone, the Obama-like cadence, the pregnant pauses, and the media who are there happily to plaster it all over Drudge and other such websites, as if we haven't seen the big, bold, red letters on Drudge quite enough. All things Trump. If it's get Trump, you're going to get some big, bold, red letters at the Drudge Report. If it take, and that's the point, it's to wear him down. If the media were sane, if the media were fair, if the media were objective, they would run this woman out of town. They would laugh her to scorn. They would say, you cannot be serious. Really? You're going to talk about some loan that he got with Deutsche Bank in Germany? Why doesn't the bank come forward if they were dealt with fraudulently? Why aren't they lining up to get Trump? You know, there was a hearing yesterday. Rashida Tlaib, she was questioning all these CEOs of the banks. You know, these big, powerful banks dealing in hundreds of millions of dollars. And she was saying to each of the CEOs, will you, in this testimony, promise to not give out loans to any companies that are out there, you know, promoting fossil fuels and that sort of thing? And one of the CEOs spoke up and said, absolutely not. No, that would destroy America. So these leaders of these big banks, they have something to say, don't they? Well, not in this case. In this case, Letitia is speaking for them. They were wronged. How do you know it? Because she said so. That's how. She's like a third party. She has nothing to do with the loans that Donald Trump secured from whatever bank. So she sifts through all the documents, and this is what she found? That he exaggerated? Donald Trump? Big shocker there. Politico says here, Tish James vowed in her 2018 campaign for attorney general to pursue a man she said was an illegitimate president and an embarrassment. She campaigned on this. And so people are taking her seriously? Yeah, they are. This is what you get from the legacy media. They treat this very seriously. Well, this could be the walls are closing in. Yes, indeed. The walls are closing in on Donald Trump. It says to Donald Trump, James, the first black woman to hold statewide office in New York, is a racist prosecutor engaged in a witch hunt against him. At least they gave Trump's view, because he's right. After 4 years of verbal jousting, James's far-reaching lawsuit against the former president, his company, and his children, even Eric Trump. I guess Eric Trump is guilty of exaggeration as well. The whole family's in on the fraud. Can you believe this? Not even just Donald Trump. What's the crime? Well, I mean, there's certain accounting principles, you know, the principles. He violated the principles. And his whole family was involved in it. Oh, yeah, lots of evil and nefarious activity. So we're going to try to put him in jail or at least fine him hundreds of millions of dollars. I think they're going after $250 million. To who? Where are the victims? You would think they'd be lining up if they could get a piece of the pie. This is from Sundance. It says, the first New York State Attorney General approach was to claim Trump and the Trump Organization undervalued their company assets, specifically real estate assets, in order to avoid income and property tax. See, that was what they went after firstly. Oh, they're trying to escape. They're trying to get out of paying taxes. So they undervalue the property. That didn't work, said Sundance. Apparently, they discovered the complex valuation system of finance and real estate that ebbs and flows as property evaluations rise and fall under market conditions. Next up. The same New York AG moved to target Donald Trump and the Trump Organization for overvaluing their company assets. Okay, that'll work then. We can say he overvalued the assets. specifically real estate assets, in order to gain favorable financial and banking terms. Thus, the claims today from the New York's political activist Attorney General Letitia James, which will, like all efforts before, eventually fail. It'll fail. Like all of these other attacks. The point is not that he's guilty. The point is the process. Get him entangled in all of these attacks, these raids, these lawsuits, and hopefully we can prevent him from ever seeing the light of day again in the political sphere. MSNBC said as much. How Letitia James' lawsuit could break Trump's spirit. That's what this is about. They want to break his spirit. They want him to throw in the towel. They want him to say, enough, okay, just leave me and my family alone, and we'll ride off into the sunset. MSNBC, it says, but here's the thing. If successful, James's lawsuit would land an even deeper blow to Trump than the one against his wallet. It could eventually throw him, his family, and their business out of New York forever. I mean, this is crazy. This is insanity. There it's wishful thinking on the part of MSNBC. Andy McCarthy. He says the lawsuit seeks $250 million in damages and a 5-year suspension of the defendant's ability to conduct business in New York. So I guess they can't even go after him as far as jail and prison time is concerned. It's easier to bring this kind of nonsense to a civil court. So that's the route that they had to take. 3 years she had sifting through, combing through his financials. And this is what they came up with? As Donald Trump said on Fox News last night, he's finally back on Fox News. But as he said last night, hey, they went through all my documents, and if anything, this is going to show how much of a successful business I had. It says here, for all the state AG's hype about a staggering number of allegedly false representations by Trump, over 200, she says, between 2011 and 2021, the case lacks what truly massive fraud cases are best known for, a victim. Where's the victim? In a lot of these charges, we've often asked, where's the crime? It's just get Trump. The crime is that he violated some accounting principles and that he exaggerated. He said his apartment was a little bit bigger than it was. Where's the victim? Indeed, at these numbers, you'd expect an array of victims. To the contrary, James identifies none. Let me repeat that. It's 280 pages, she says. This complaint, the size of it alone tells you he's guilty. And in 280 pages, there's not one statement in there that identifies a victim. This is no Bernie Madoff case. No one was financially ruined or even appreciably damaged due to Trump's machinations. Trump dealt with a wide run of highly sophisticated financial actors, banks, real estate corporations, insurance conglomerates, accounting firms, etc. They knew exactly who he was. He's been doing this for 40 years. They knew exactly who he was. Both sides had teams of lawyers. It says what his reputation has been for a half century and how his accountants tended to avoid vouching for his number crunching. You know, it was all in the fine print. Never mind what he said or didn't say. I mean, he's got a team to take care of these transactions. And like he said on Hannity, he paid back all the loans that they extended, and they made a lot of money, and his real estate business succeeded. Both sides are happy. In comes Letitia James, you know, jogging like Josh Hawley. In comes Letitia James. She says, wait a second now. I think he exaggerated, and I think he secured loans from these banks over here. These are the victims. These are some that they're not lining up as part of this case. They're nowhere to be found. But I'm just here to tell you that he victimized these people. And so he needs to pay $250 million. And he needs to be banned. He needs to be blotted out of New York City, or just New York. He needs to be blotted out. So says this woman who vowed in 2018 when campaigning for this position. She vowed to get Trump. Remember the money laundering? He was laundering money through New York, she said in 2018. Well, then why not go to criminal court on those charges and show us where the money was laundered? Show us how it was laundered. It's just like the raid on Mar-a-Lago. They get in there, the press hyperventilates, and then they come to find out there's no real evidence of any wrongdoing. So what do? Classified. It was classified, and he had no right to take them. Sundance just turned up a document showing that Barack Obama, the one they worship, there's actually a document trail, a paper trail, showing that he had classified documents of his own after his second term that he put in a warehouse somewhere. See what's happening here? You see the war between Antiochus and Jeroboam? Of course you do. She points out, by the way, that Trump defrauded Deutsche Bank when it received a $170 million loan to buy this post office building in D.C. I guess that became the Trump Hotel. Trump then later sold the business for $374 million. I guess that just that he sold it for a nice profit is probably, that's probably evidence enough that there has to be some kind of wrongdoing here. This is the kind of thing that's happening in the world, in the United States, in a capitalist society, all the time. Take out 170, obviously you're talking about the rich and the wealthy, a real estate mogul, but still, take out a $170 million loan, get the monthly payments like you would for a mortgage on a house, then sell it later for $374, probably pay off the loan in full, go away with a nice profit. He's a successful businessman. But she's there saying that, well, somehow with what he said and how he filed for the loan and so on and so forth, and there's this exaggeration, it was fraud. Well, then Deutsche Bank can come forward and say, hey, he committed fraud. We didn't make enough money off the loan that we gave to him. So we're going to take him to court. Fine, do it. They didn't do it. Why? None of these banks, none of these insurance companies. You know why they haven't come forward? Because Donald Trump, the truth of it is, Donald Trump was a good customer. They like him, just like the media did before 2015. They all loved him. He helped cities. He helped New York. That's a tourist attraction, the Trump Hotel in Manhattan. He actually built up the city, quite unlike what you see happening in cities today. You know the segment last night on Jesse's show, this man trying to operate a restaurant in Los Angeles, and he's got homeless people sitting out in front smearing feces all over the windows and things of that nature. Even when this is a city, mind you, that's set up for homeless. There are shelters, there are facilities, there are goods and services even offered. And this homeless, this obstinate, stubborn, demon-possessed, no doubt, homeless man, he will not move, he will not stop behaving the way he is. And what's more, the law enforcement, they can't do anything about it. And the poor man that's just trying to run his restaurant, he's just got to deal with this going on right outside his place of business. This is what we've turned into. Cities without law and order, just lawlessness reigning supreme. Contrast it with what Donald Trump did to Mar-a-Lago, to New York, to Washington, D.C., to places all over the world as he went in there and he tried to build it up. He tried to improve his real estate holdings. Imagine that. And so he's the one that needs to pay off a $250 million fine. As I say, if we had an honest media, she would be laughed to scorn. Why are you trying to mimic Obama, his style of speech? What is this about? And for, you say it was because of Michael Cohen from a few years ago. You campaigned on this before Michael Cohen ever came along. You set out to get Trump from the beginning. It says here, this is McCarthy's piece. The lawsuit exercise smacks of the political hackery for which James, who campaigned vowing to use the power of her office to nail Trump, she campaigned vowing to use the power. You want to talk about an abuse of power? Well, New York voted her in back in 2018. They're about to vote her out, judging by some of the latest polls. Obama, though, maybe Obama's keeping his eye on her. Hey, after yesterday, he's probably sitting in his Washington, D.C. mansion saying, she sounds pretty good. I like her style. I like the way she speaks. And I think if she was the AG for the federal government, she'd probably go after Trump in ways that Merrick Garland isn't. It smacks of political hackery, who campaigned vowing to use the power of her office to nail Trump, is now notorious. It says when she had gubernatorial ambitions, she conducted an extensive investigation of the then-incumbent Andrew Cuomo and then rationalized, dumping a sensational report into the public domain. Yeah, she wanted Cuomo's job, so she took him down with this investigation. Then she releases it, you know, leaks it, so everyone knows all the seedy details of his abuse of women or sexual harassment. I mean, you're not going to run him out of town for killing off the elderly population. Never mind any of that. Everything that they did with COVID was just perfect. But look, if he harassed a woman, and if I want his job, I'll just release the event. Whatever happened? I mean, where are the court proceedings? She had this extensive investigation to take down Andrew Cuomo. Was there ever an indictment? Did it ever reach a criminal court or a civil court? Answer, no, because it was a political hit job from the beginning, just like yesterday's is, just like the one on Trump. Get Trump. That's the whole aim here. Listen to Trump for his part last night, clip two.
Actually, the one good thing is people see what a great company I built. I built a great company, a powerful company, a company that's very lowly leveraged, with the among the best assets anywhere in the world. I mean, you look at this asset. She has this down at $75 million. I can tell you it's many times that number. She said, oh, he valued it at 75 or whatever it was, or she valued it at 75. What does Letitia James know? But if I were going, I don't have a mortgage on this property. If I was going to put a mortgage on this property, the institutions are going to be coming over. They're going to go through comparable properties all over Palm Beach or whatever it is, wherever it may be, Miami. We have them all over. We have tremendous properties. And again, we have very little debt. The debt we did have, it was paid current. The banks made a lot of money. She's trying to defend banks that got paid off. She's trying to defend banks that had unbelievable legal talent. I will tell you that. They're very good.
There's no loan that you can think of where they didn't do their own valuation, their own vetting, their own financial assessment. All right,
By the way, they have people in-house that do it too.
Right.
But you can't just say, you know, here's a financial statement. But what we do is, here's a financial statement, but be careful because it may not be accurate. It may be way off. I mean, we go, I think it's close to a page and a half of all of these things. Get your own people, use your own appraisers, use your own lawyers, don't rely on us. And then she sued us. Now, again, I didn't think this would ever happen because they had no case. I met with them. I actually thought they wanted to settle, but I didn't want to settle because how can you, even if I paid a very small amount, you're sort of admitting guilt.
Donald Trump, as you would expect, sticking to his guns. I love the question there in the middle. What does Letitia James know? There's your title for today's show, Sam. What does she know about any of these dealings? Both teams, like he says, both teams would have teams of lawyers and appraisers and in some cases third party in this negotiation to make sure it's a fair deal. I mean, what bank, what international bank, what multi-million, in some cases billion-dollar bank would waltz in and just sit down across the table from Donald Trump, and Donald Trump says, hey, this property is worth such and such, I need a loan for this, and the bank, the CEO is just going to say, sure, let's make it a handshake deal. Do you think that's how it operates when we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars exchanging hands? Now, listen, I can tell you about another family that was exchanging tens of millions, even hundreds of millions of dollars, selling off political influence to enemies of the United States. And evidence of that is on a laptop, and there are multiple copies of it. It really is sad and shameful to see that the treasonous actors, they're not just in government. They're working at MSNBC. They're working at CNN. I mean, and I should add, there are some liberal outlets, New York Times and others, that have called into question the legitimacy. They're very nice about it, but they've called into question the legitimacy of this sham court case. Hopefully some judge somewhere will slam the door shut on it. But all you got to do, as we well know, you see it with FISA warrants, you see it with raids on property. All you got to do is find some favorable judge or magistrate that can sign off on these grave injustices, on this abuse of power. Listen to Alan Dershowitz, the Democrat lawyer, for his part. This is his take, clip 3.
The first thing I would do if I were Trump's lawyers is move for the recusal and disqualification of Letitia James. I like Letitia James. She's a very nice person, but she campaigned on the promise to get Trump before seeing any evidence. And so she is just fulfilling a campaign promise. You can't have prosecutors even civilly prosecuting a defendant if they've made a campaign promise that they have to fill. They're not neutral and objective. And look, who are the people who defrauded here, they claim? The biggest banks in the world. Why can't the biggest banks sue him and take care of themselves? Why does Letitia James have to be out there protecting and defending the biggest banks in the country who haven't sued him at all? So this doesn't pass the test of a legitimate civil complaint, and I think they should be challenging it very vigorously.
What does Letitia James know? That's another way of saying it. What does she know? Let the big banks fend for themselves, like they did in that hearing yesterday in front of Rashida Tlaib. They can speak for themselves. They decide who they issue loans to. Well, you're not going to issue loans to any companies that are pro-fossil fuels. Of course we are. To not do that would destroy America. We need to find out who that CEO was. Some good pushback there. And here are these members of Congress trying to make these CEOs of these big banks feel guilty because they believe they should decide who gets loans, who doesn't get loans, etc. This is the same spirit that Letitia James is coming forward with in this 222-page complaint. She knows who got hurt here. And she knows who made off like a bandit. Or bandits, because the children did too. That Eric Trump, you should know, he benefited from these exaggerations as well and hurt a lot of people. He probably hurt you. I don't really know about it, but I guess he hurt me too somehow. In America Under Attack, my father says, even after leaving the White House, speaking of Obama, he continued working his agenda. And he has never stopped trying to undermine America. Barack Obama came as an angel of light, and millions of Americans believed and still believe him. It says, but as president, was he the guardian of America's democratic institutions and traditions like rule of law? Did he leave the instruments of our democracy at least as strong as he found them? Did he? Look at his fruits. Look at his works. Saw the Constitution as that negative, you know, that charter of negative liberties, whatever that means. Did he leave the he did precisely the opposite, my father says. Focus on his actions. Look at his fruits. Anybody should be able to see past the angelic artifice and recognize the real power at work. There's this article by Fred Lucas on, again, how the whole aim here in Obama's movement is to destroy Donald Trump. It's like that tweet we refer to from years ago, that Obama acolyte who said it's not enough to beat him. he has to be destroyed. His movement has to be destroyed. So here comes another sham show trial in the spirit of the January 6th committee, in the spirit of the Mar-a-Lago raid, in the same spirit of the impeachments over nothing. The aim is to destroy this article. Fred Lucas, he says, it's been almost 2 years since former President Donald Trump's defeat, yet House Democrats have managed to build an entire legislative agenda around Trump derangement syndrome. Bill Barr, and he's no fan of Trump anymore, as we well know, but he spoke of this deranged case brought forward by Letitia James. Listen to Bill Barr from an interview yesterday, clip 4.
It's hard for me not to conclude it's a political hit job. And this is a woman who campaigned for office saying that, promising she was going to go after Trump, which I think is a tremendous abuse of office to go headhunting and targeting individuals. So I think she was targeting Trump. And this is after 3 years, a civil lawsuit, the gist of which is that when the Trump Organization borrowed money, Trump personally guaranteed those loans. And to support that, she's claiming that he inflated his assets on his financial statements. Now, I'm not even sure she has a good case against Trump himself, but what ultimately persuades me that this is a political hit job is she grossly overreaches when she tries to drag the children into this. Yes, they had roles in the business, but this was his personal financial statement. It was prepared by the CFO. Accounting firms were involved in it. The children aren't going to know the details of that and be able, and nor are they expected in the real world to do their own due diligence and have it, you know, reviewed independently. And so this to me looks like gross overreach, which I think is going to end up backfiring on them, because I think it will make people sympathetic for Trump, that this is another example of people piling on because of Trump derangement syndrome, this strong desire to punish him.
I mean, if you can't get Bill Barr on board with an attack on Trump, you know it's off the wall. And it is backfiring. You know, she won as AG years ago, and now she's struggling to win for re-election. That's in New York. This is in a blue state. It's backfiring, just like Mar-a-Lago has backfired, just like the January 6th committee has backfired. The fake insurrection, it's backfiring. If some of these Trump supporters, close to him, I mean, he has the support throughout the nation. They believe the election was stolen. But if the ones that are his inner circle, his advisors, if they had as much courage and fight in them as he does, they'd be fighting the fraudulent election, because that's what all of this traces back to. This story by Fred Lucas says the House Oversight and Reform Committee alone has been firing away Trump-obsessed legislation as Democrat sponsors for bills on the census, civil service, and so on. It says House Democrats are advancing bills through committees as if they think he's a sure thing come January 2025, or water down a second Trump term, or water down a second Trump term as much as possible by weakening presidential authority. So they're all acting as if Trump has the chance to come back, and they're trying to legislate accordingly. We've got to do what we can to make sure he's in a weak, weak position when he gets back. Wear him down. Just wear him down. The Hill had a story, by the way, on trying to undermine Schedule F, which would allow Donald Trump to get in there and start draining the swamp. The administrative state is already in working motion to try to prevent Donald Trump from doing what he says he'll do. There's this article exposing the RNC and the DNC, how that they're both just one and the same, all part of the establishment. This one here says, I forget the source, it says, the country is on the verge of being completely taken over by the communists. Censorship is rampant. Political indoctrination is taking place throughout every institution, state or private. The major news outlets are propaganda outlets. Formerly neutral government agencies are being oriented against dissenters. The economy is being destroyed. There's an invasion on the southern border. And of course, you have the traditional Democrat election fraud now and then. And, of course, the point of the piece, where are the Republicans? Where are the Republicans standing against this attack? going back to America Under Attack. Again, if you don't have this book, call our operators today and request your free copy. It's in stock. It's flying off of our shelves. The toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada, 1-866-930-3024. My father says the complicity among the political class, including Democrats, Republicans, the news media, and others, is far deeper than Americans realize. The amount of power, money, influence, technology, and intimidation they wield is staggering. We need to be concerned most of all, about the second goal, to bury the illegal action, to create the cover-up needed for everything that took place in the Stop Trump operation. Operation Get Trump. Operation Stop Trump. Go after Trump on the one hand and try to cover up your lawless activity on the other. This is what we've been seeing for years now. What a sickness. What a sickness it is. Top to bottom, as Isaiah 1 says. Listen to Donald Trump from this week, clip 5.
As our country is sick. Our country has so many problems right now. Our country is sick. We really have a country that's going downhill.
It's sick through and through. Read about that in the first few verses of Isaiah's prophecy. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with a short study of the Bible. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Over the last couple of weeks, we've put together three or four studies on the subject of following God's lead or being led by the Holy Spirit of God, God's power. And there's some more interesting verses talking about the Holy Spirit and yielding to that power and following that lead. This one in Acts 18 and verse 5. It says that when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So we've seen the language that says, now follow along, be led by it. But here Luke uses the word pressed, a pretty strong word that means to be constrained, to be constrained. So how are you constrained by the Spirit? If the Spirit won't force you, if the Spirit won't drag you along, but you have to follow its lead, you're pressed by the Spirit when through the power of God's Spirit you receive the spirit of temperance and self-control. Your will factors into this process as well. You are submitting your will to the will of God, and in that sense, you are constrained by God's will, constrained by the Spirit of God. the correspondence course that we produce. I haven't plugged this in quite a while, but if you haven't enrolled in our 36 lesson Bible correspondence course, call the toll-free number, request lesson one today. It's 1-866-930-3024. The correspondence course says, the spiritual power available through the Holy Spirit is the power needed for self-mastery, for accomplishment, success, abundant joy, peace of mind, and the happiness we all desire. That lesson goes on to point out how that we have to train our will. We have to be in the established habit of obeying and serving God, of drawing near to God through prayer and study, occasional fasting, Christian fellowship. We have to be in spiritual shape. We have to train the will, do those things that in some cases we may not just like to do, but we know we need to do. We know we have to do it. And resist against those things that are maybe easy, but that we know we shouldn't do. I mean, we have these kinds of choices and decisions to make every day in the littlest of ways. Temperance, self-control, I mean, that really is the key to being led by the Spirit. It's the key to spiritual power. We all want to get to a point where we're pressed in the Spirit. We're constrained by the Spirit because we're just submitting our will to the will of God. It's a battle. It's a fight. It's a war. Paul said it in Galatians 5. Those fleshly pulls, they war against the Spirit of God. Acts 19, verse 21, it says, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he went into Macedonia, two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. See, Paul purposed in the Spirit. He lived in the Spirit. He was surrounded by the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit of God. Notice what he says in Acts 20. This is Acts 20, verse 22. And now behold, I go, this is Paul speaking at the Ephesian conference. He says, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 23 says, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He's telling these Ephesian elders that I'm going back to Jerusalem and I'm probably going to be bound in chains. I'm going to be incarcerated. But that doesn't matter. What's more important is that I'm bound in the Spirit. Here again, strong, strong language. Paul was so submitted to God's will that he was prepared to face physical incarceration in order to maintain that position of being bound by the Spirit of God. Now, that's quite a spiritual orientation. That, like I said, that's what we're all aiming for, isn't it? It's just so easy, though, to serve the flesh and its fleshly pulls, to just let down, to lower the standard, to not follow after the Spirit of God, to not be pressed in the Spirit, and certainly not to be bound by the Spirit. Herbert Armstrong said in a 1983 sermon, he said, just having the Holy Spirit doesn't make you into a god. It doesn't give you the character of God. The character of God requires your action, your effort, your drive, if you please, initiative. You've got to work at it. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have to work at God's way of life. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. We've got to be doers of God's word, not hearers only, James 1, verse 22. It takes your action. It takes your effort. That doesn't mean we're producing the character. It just means that we're walking in the Spirit. We're not just living in it, as Galatians 5 brings out. We walk in it. We go forward in it. We're pressed by it. We're constrained by it. We're bound by the Spirit. This is from a Royal Vision article from 2007. Joel Hilliker says here, "We are only sons of God if we're being led by God through the Holy Spirit. Do you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit of God? Do you allow this?" It says, "As powerful as the Holy Spirit is, it never forces, impels, commands, or controls us. It leads us. It influences our thinking. It suggests we must be willing to yield to that influence, to follow, to obey those suggestions. How sensitive are we to the influence and suggestion of the Spirit of God?" We've seen some examples here where, in the case of Paul, he was so sensitive to it. He told the brethren outright, "Look, I'm bound by the Spirit. I don't care what happens to me back in Jerusalem." Now, you want to factor in some wisdom here, too. There were times when Paul, when he fled Damascus because the persecutors were coming after him, he snuck out by night. But there's also instances where, and God has to guide us in this, where he just stood up to and faced the persecution and faced the trial, the show trial, the kangaroo court, whatever it was. And other times when he left discreetly, he left Thessalonica discreetly after 3 weeks. The persecution was ramping up, and so he got out of there, went to Athens or went to Berea, Athens. But the point of it is, he was being, and you see this over and again in the book of Acts, he was being led by the Spirit. He was always concerned about every day getting up and making sure he was a follower of God's Spirit, that he was pressed by God's Spirit, that he was even bound by God's Spirit. Notice this from Acts 7. This is verse 51. This is coming from Stephen's trial. Acts 7, verse 51 says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you." Stephen was speaking to his Satan-inspired persecutors, and he said to them, "You're resisting. You're fighting the Spirit of God." Of course, Paul, before his conversion, was doing the same thing. Paul was at the feet of Stephen, or Stephen was at the feet of him when he was stoned to death. That's at the end of chapter 7. You can see that at the start of chapter 8. And when Paul was struck down, when God struck him down, Jesus said, "Paul, why are you resisting against the pricks? Why are you fighting the Spirit?" This is what Stephen said to his persecutors. They were fighting it. They were fighting it. Notice what 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 says. We just went through this yesterday in class. Paul says, "Pray without ceasing." Verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And then verse 19, it says, "Quench not the Spirit." Quench not the Spirit. Don't let the Spirit dwindle down to nothing. David prayed in the Psalms, his prayers of repentance. He said, "Father, don't take your Spirit from me." David was on edge. He was living in sin for months. And he nearly lost the Spirit of God. It is possible to lose it. It is possible for that power to be quenched. It is possible. All that you have to do is let down in your spiritual life, to not pray as earnestly or as often as we used to. Same with Bible study, to forsake opportunities to assemble together with God's family, to receive instruction from services and so on, to just stop laboring. There's another verse. I didn't write down the verse, but it talks about grieving the Spirit. I went through that in a study with you last year. But it is possible to grieve the Spirit, to resist the Spirit, to even quench the Spirit. But if you're yielded to God's will, you can be led by it. You can be pressed by it. You can be bound to it. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.